Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
All right. I don't know what that buzz is. Hopefully that's just another technical problem to kick us off. But anyway, today we are discussing the Amazon original series Homecoming,
mm-hmm.
starring Julia Roberts.
Yeah. I was going to say her return to TV, but it's not. It's her first TV role.
She put on her TV wig.
She came down. Two TV wigs, I think. I think she had two wigs going in the show.
It's interesting. I think that was Sam S. Mill's choice to depict the two different time periods with two different wigs.
Mm-hmm. It's a very wig heavy show.
Very wiggy. What did you think?
I
was wondering if we would have wildly different opinions.
I watched it.
On
I saw the whole thing. I don't know. I went into this with very high hopes. Mm-hmm. It was very, very hyped ahead of time. And people seemed to really, really love it. There was... obviously, it was a big deal that it was Julia Roberts' first starring role in a TV production, and Sam Esmail is coming off all the Mr. Robot hype. Mm-hmm. So, it didn't do much for me. Like, I think it was visually really, really beautiful and gorgeously shot, very well acted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it left me cold.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It was spectacular to look at. I thought the direction and the acting were really good. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful, which is kind of interesting. It was adapted from a podcast, which I might have watched the whole thing before I knew that, but it does have sort of like a radio drama feel to it.
Yeah, it's
sure
very stylistic.
Yeah,
and I think that a lot of that probably has to do with when you're trying to convey something that was previously in like a just audible
audio,
that's the word I was looking for, in an audio format. I think it was interesting that they tried to sort of make it like it's very stylistic.
Yeah.
And but overall it just didn't grab me.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I was trying to figure out, is the problem me? Like, do I just not have... It's kind of a slow show. There's obviously a secret,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're kind of waiting for it to be revealed. And I just found myself frustrated. Like, around episode 4, I was like, I'm just not grabbed by this. I want to know what the goddamn secret is and be done with this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I just... My brain has been ruined by the modern mode of TV, which is more, snappy and episodic. Mm-hmm. And there's like something explosive happens in every episode. And maybe my brain just like has been altered. And now I don't have patience for something that is more, you know, drawn out.
You need that dopamine hit of like Jack Ryan blowing something up.
Yeah. Well, this is not my original thought, but I was reading the Chapo Trap House book.
Yeah.
They were talking about how TV has been ruined by this like need to satisfy the content economy, which is like a lot of websites now just do TV recaps,
uh-huh.
which I used to think this is so dumb. Why would anyone read this? And now I read them all the time.
Yeah.
But then TV started getting made specifically to fuel that economy. And like then every episode had to have something
shocking,
you know, something to talk about, mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, The Wire, which is a much slower and a bigger picture and less episodic. Yeah, so I couldn't tell if it's me or the show, but I just wasn't that drawn in by it. It's also a little joyless. Like, Mr.
Yeah.
Robot is a very slow and weird TV show, and it's a very, like, paranoid mood and very serious. But even that show finds ways to, like, be humorous. Like,
mm-hmm.
it uses its weird kind of design to work humor in, and this show is just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I do think it was interesting. I mean, it, it sort of addresses some like interesting larger topics. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it is. It's one of those like, ooh, like, you know, yeah, makes you think. But I think part of what was a problem for me, not that it was super slow, but the payoff was, there was no stakes. Like, this whole thing is kicked off. It starts with this guy from the DOJ coming to like file a report about the mysterious homecoming program that no longer exists. But there's just no fucking payoff. Like, it's not like nobody's in jail. Like, nothing changes and nothing. And I don't know if that's meant to be how the podcast was, that, you know, it sort of built it up to be this like very tense thing, but then at the end everyone's like, meh, that happened. Like, there wasn't any, there's a very weird plot, not weird, but there's a plot about Julia Roberts. She was the like counselor there, and she doesn't remember anything about her time there, but she's not curious about that at all.
That was like, odd to me.
That's really fucking strange that you're just like, oh yeah, those 3 years I worked, or whatever, like those 18 months I worked there, just not, I don't remember anything about that, but that seems cool, right? Like, that's, it's just,
yeah, that's weird.
It's really weird. There's Bobby Cannavale is in this playing a total shithead, which I don't, playing, and you know, I don't know, I think
you hate Bobby Cannavale.
I don't hate him at all. I just think that's very much his wheelhouse, and I'm conflating that with like him being a total fucking dick in real life. I have zero basis for that information, but he plays it so convincingly that I'm like, oh, that's just Bobby Cannavale. Yeah, he's really good at it.
I mean, I find him truly menacing.
Yeah, so he is definitely menacing. He's good
for that kind of role.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, all the acting was good in the show. The guy who plays the investigator from the DOJ was great. He was perfect. Like, he was a guy who wears like
short sleeve dress shirt.
Like, just touches like that were so perfect for that guy. But Bobby Cannavale, I don't know. There's like a lot of shit that happens in the show. But he ends up sleeping with Julia Roberts in her current life. There's two timelines in the show. Yeah. We're like flashing back to their time at homecoming. And then there's the current present day, which is set in the future slightly. It's like 2023 or something.
Oh, I wasn't sure what the difference was in time, because I at first, when they flashed the first time you see her in the nearer timeline or whatever, like the
present day
or future, I don't know, I thought it was a flashback because it's like she's a waitress and, you know, I feel like that was must have been an earlier time, but you quickly find out that's ahead of the homecoming time. But I thought that was interesting how they framed like the different aspect ratios to do different time. It seems kind of heavy-handed, but that's, I don't know, I like that kind of thing that's very legible.
I like it too. And then in later episodes that changes. They shift the aspect ratio
when
again.
She can remember
when she's putting it together. It widens the but anyway, Bobby Cannavale sleeps with her in the present day, and she doesn't remember him. He was ostensibly her boss at homecoming. She doesn't remember him, but then she goes to homecoming with him and then remembers him. Again, zero fucking like conversations about the fact, like, you totally lied to me and said you were a completely different person.
Right.
And like, that's not even an issue for her. Like, I just, it's not the way people really behave, I don't think. Even if you have had your memory wiped, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows what the side effects of this mysterious medication are. I overall, it felt like not really enough happened for the time I invested in the show. But I don't know, I was thinking like they could have tightened it up. 10 episodes is a lot. But I don't, I'm not sure what exactly I would excise from the show. I think most of the side plots illustrated something. At first, I was like, why do we need the fucking Dermot Mulroney side plot? Her boyfriend that she clearly hates.
And Evergreen.
That just fizzles out.
Evergreen. Why do we need Dermot Mulroney? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that just fizzles out. And I don't know if that's purposeful. I don't know if that's meant to be if that's what they intended, or if that's just they're following this like podcast narrative. But I just, yeah, I didn't feel like any of this was truly the way people would behave in your everyday life. If you're right. Like, if I'm going through life and I have a, you know, 2-year gap in my memory,
yeah, that was odd.
It just, yeah, it seems strange. And yeah, I didn't really buy that. It was more style than substance to me.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel. I'm still not entirely sure how I feel about it. I feel like another problem that is maybe more about me is a show like this that, you know, I feel like this show is one of many we're seeing right now that's sort of like a byproduct of, you know, the vast corruption uh-huh. that we see in our government yeah. and the fact that a generation of people are coming of age having only known the United States at war. It, you know, like, we just live in endless war now.
Yeah.
And the show, I think, is a lot about that. So we're obviously, as every Sunday, there will be spoilers.
Yes.
But if you haven't watched the show, you know, the homecoming is supposed to be this facility that helps veterans returning from war assimilate back to civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
The reveal is that the drug they're being drugged with secretly,
yes,
like unknowingly, in the food they eat every day, is erasing memories that they have that have given them PTSD so that they can reenlist and go back
yes.
to war. It's government contractor. And, like, I don't know, like, 10 years ago, I feel like that would have been kind of an explosive idea. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like if we found out that the plot of this show was literally true,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be front page news.
Yeah.
You know? And so I guess I just, thinking about our government doing bad things, like, that's all I do every single
yeah.
fucking day, every moment that I'm awake. And
yeah.
like watching a fictional TV show about it just kind of bums me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And also, yeah, I think the world is so effed up right now and
yeah.
everybody's so kind of jaded about everything that, yeah, this isn't explosive or particularly interesting even. Like, they don't make it... I don't know. Yeah, they just didn't make the stakes high enough. It was, and I do think that part of that is intentional, because at the end it comes down, like, there's all this, like, very fraught, like, she goes to homecoming and the investigator goes to homecoming and he's, like, going through these abandoned hallways and mm-hmm. it's all sort of tense and, like, what's going to be discovered. And then he does just sit down and write a physical report
yeah.
that he gives to his boss. His boss then calls that company, Geist, and says, like, oh, we've got a problem. This report's been filed. And, like, yeah, that's it. It's going to go away. And I think that that's intentional because,
yeah.
yeah, that's the way the fucking world works. Geist is going to make a donation to whatever, and all these people who had their mind fucked with and mm-hmm. had to ended up reenlisting and going back to war under, like, false pretenses and having their memory erased.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, yeah, okay, well, that happened. Now I'm okay, though, you know? and I think that's it. It's like this weird condemnation of that whole industrial complex. And I think that statement that, like, none of this fucking matters. Like, everybody will do what they want to do for money. You know, like, there's no,
mm-hmm.
the human cost is never factored in. And yeah, that's sadly not surprising anymore.
Ultimately, I think it was kind of a good show that was a good indictment of our modern military industrial complex
mm-hmm.
that I just didn't enjoy that much.
Yeah. Well, I think there were interesting elements. Like, Julia mm-hmm. Roberts was really great. And I did enjoy seeing her in the homecoming setting.
Yeah.
I also think it's like an indictment of, there was a devastating scene with her and Sissy Spacek, who plays her mom, mm-hmm. where Julia Roberts has started to remember all this bad shit, and she, you know, remembered that they were erasing these people's minds and mm-hmm. the things were going south because they weren't, it was supposed to be targeted memories that they were getting rid yeah. of, like PTSD only, and it turns out that they were forgetting other things, mm-hmm. obviously. but she has this conversation with her mom where she's like, I was part of this and I did this. And her mom was like, yeah, of course. Like, I always knew it was shady as fuck. Like, you were super inexperienced. Like, you were just, you know, you'd only been practicing for like 3 years. There's no way you'd be like making all this money and in charge of this like huge program if it wasn't shady as fuck. And like, just mm-hmm. that, you're like, the lies you tell yourself yeah. and like what you go through to like justify. Make yeah to justify and like make things fit for you.
Yeah.
And also her thinking, oh, like we're really helping this PTSD, and then slowly realizing that like, nope, it's all about getting them to reenlist just yeah. so like faster turnaround so mm-hmm. you know they can get right back to Afghanistan or whatever. And yeah, what is tenable versus like what she can't justify anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ending, after like 10 episodes of just wanting the fucking show to be over so I could stop watching mm-hmm. it, the ending really made me feel things.
Yeah.
That, like, her go. So the guy who plays Walter Cruz,
yes.
Stephen James, has one of those faces mm-hmm. that just is like, I don't, there's something about it that makes me very uncomfortable because it's like this beautiful, serene face.
Very like and, trusting, open, yeah, like happy.
You just don't want anything yeah, bad to happen you really to his don't. Face.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was perfect for that role. And so she goes to find him at the end, like kind of on a, not on a whim, but following like, anyway, she goes to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he, that fucking thing of like searching for the one that you've realized you're in love with. And yeah. then like you realize you're the one who ruined their life.
Yeah.
And like you can't touch that yeah. again. Like that really gets to me.
Yeah.
It yeah. It's so good.
It was a great scene. They meet in a diner in like this little town in California, which they had talked about running away together yeah. and like where they would live and all of that. And that's exactly what he does. And yeah, realizing that, yeah, you've lost so much. Like, you've lost mm-hmm. this entire, like, potential. And not only that, but yeah, you've totally fucked up, like, yeah. that guy's life. Oh, well, I don't know. He seemed cool.
Yeah,
he seemed fine. He was working on his deck, you know.
He didn't gonna be go a back day, to day Afghanistan, and a half. So yeah. that's good. I wasn't going to bring this up. Julia Roberts looks incredible,
yes.
as usual. She's a spectacularly beautiful woman. And I had to Google Stephen James just to figure out what his deal was. That guy's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Roberts is 51.
Mm-hmm. Get it, girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Less than half her age. But yeah, handsome couple.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, Julia Roberts is... Yeah, she is stunningly beautiful, but she, like, if she wasn't an actress, she would be, like, she's just got a movie star face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that face is so fucking weird, like, that if she, it should only exist on the screen, not in real life. It's very strange.
You find, yeah. I mean, she's got a huge mouth, but she's so, like, she was my first, like, lesbian crush.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Always.
Yeah.
I had a thing for Julia Roberts. And that's why it's so like stupid dowdy wig. Like,
yeah.
We don't need
Yeah.
It just looks weird for Julia Roberts yeah. to have this like these chunky bangs.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it distracting. And you don't have to do that. She can play a normal person. We'll all buy it without the stupid wig. Like Connie Britton, they didn't put her in a dumb wig to make her believable as Tammy Taylor, you know? They just let her hair be great. She was still a small town Texas woman. We totally bought it. We don't need stupid wigs.
Okay. All right. Is that, that's your hill to die on with this show?
Die on.
That's,
it would have been a perfect show if it weren't for those stupid bangs. No? Anyone?
I didn't mind the bangs. I don't know. I mean, I thought, yeah, there's no way you can make her face less attractive. And yeah, trying to put her in a dowdy wig doesn't really do much. But as always, if you guys have any thoughts about Homecoming, if there's something huge that we missed, go ahead and tweet at us. We would love to hear from you guys. We're at BFF TV on the radio. We would love to talk to you about Homecoming, about your thoughts about drugging our veterans, about whether or not Bobby Cannavale is a real shithead in real life.
Yeah, if you have any inside information.
Yeah, I'm mystified that he is with Rose Byrne. That they share a child together. They share a child. And a home and a life. I don't know. But
why?
I don't know. It seems so... He's such a fucking mook. It just seems... It does. And she seems like a classy, funny, nice lady.
Elegant lady.
And it just does not fit for me for some reason.
I don't have as strong a feeling about Bobby Cannavale as you do. Although Jonathan Van Ness was watching Homecoming and tweeting about it this morning. And he said that Bobby Cannavale was the muscle version of Don Jr. And I was just like, even Bobby Cannavale doesn't deserve that.
No. Yeah, no. I mean, I have strong negative feelings towards Bobby Cannavale, but not
Don Jr. level. Okay, we're going to go to a song. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Homecoming and Bobby Cannavale's face. And stay tuned. All right. song ended abruptly.
Yeah.
Welcome back to TV on the Radio. We are talking Homecoming. I read something interesting this morning. The music for the show was all from other film scores.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I feel like I was watching an episode with my husband, and he said something about it being very Hitchcockian. Mm-hmm. Some of the music was literally from Vertigo. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's an article that I'll tweet out in IndieWire. That's a little interview with Maggie Phillips, who did the film score, and apparently it was a whole thing. It's like sort of unprecedented. They had to get in touch with publishers who are not used to licensing music for television because it was made for a film.
Yeah.
And no one's ever just taken other film scores. But
wow.
Yeah, a lot of like Brian De Palma films and like stuff from the 70s. See, and
that's part of my issue with this show too, is I think it is very clever. It's like a little too high on its own supply, I think. Like, definitely one of those, like, well, yeah, makes you think. Like, they're definitely trying to be prestige drama.
Yeah.
And
but it did feel more like it was about the style than the
It definitely, yeah. And so I think that things like that are, let's just fucking get over yourself. Yeah. Like, just, I don't know.
I want to talk more about this, but briefly before we get off the topic of just being exhausted by the sort of the issues that this show addressed, like, we need a new word for anger to describe a show that is about an evil corporation that we are watching exclusively on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Sam Esmail gets an Emmy for this and thanks Jeff Bezos,
oh God. Yeah.
My brain will disintegrate and leak out my ears.
Yeah.
It's just, what a world.
Yeah. Life is a rich tapestry, Jess. It is definitely, I don't even know what kind of like Ouroboros of hubris that is to like have this show. Did you let's talk about something big. Did you watch the post credit scene?
No.
Did you see the scene?
So was there a big reveal after the credits?
No. Yeah. Jeff Bezos came on and said, thank you all for watching Homecoming. You've slowly had your minds erased while you've been watching this.
Maybe I watched it, but I don't remember.
So Bobby Cannavale ends up taking the fall for Homecoming. But there's real fall. He just loses his job, but whatever. He'll fail upwards and go somewhere else.
Yeah, totally.
But his former assistant is the one who is telling him all this because now she's going to be moving into his position. But then at the end, you see her reach into her bag and she applies like something to her wrist that says for lab use only.
Oh, God, I totally missed that.
Oh, so what do you think it was, Jess?
I don't.
So it's like Geist is still fucking around with like stuff they shouldn't be fucking around with,
right?
But I was like, oh, maybe it's like bitch serum where like or like where you just get to like, you know, you got to put it on so you can like totally like overthrow the man. I was like, maybe she's just, that's a little side project that she's working on. I don't know, it's probably something more nefarious than trying to empower women, but but yeah, so it's like Dubs TF with that, guys. Like,
interesting. We'll find out in season two.
That's the thing. I'm very worried that now it's just going to be like, we get it. Geist is evil. Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares. Walter has moved on with his life. His mom is like, he's fucking moved on with his life. Julia Roberts did. It turned out what she did was she gave him an extra dose of the forgetting stuff and it caused weird side effects. So he wasn't able to be reenlisted. So it's like, that's doing him a solid. Like, okay, fine. You've got like a few years of. My thing was, I went through this entire show thinking that I will admit I fell asleep during the first episode and I never went back to it. But I went. So I went through this entire show thinking that Walter was imprisoned for attacking her. They made this big thing about like how he was dismissed from the program the day that she left. Mm-hmm. And it turned out at the end, like, no, he was never in prison. Like, he never did anything. He just went home to be with his mom. Yeah. And like, there's no stakes. Like, this isn't about freeing anyone. This isn't about anything. Right. And it turns out that
we don't know the whole time. Like, he's never in. Yeah. We never know what happened to him until the end.
But it turns out Alex Karpovsky just typed in again on a report, like, right, the dismissal date and her dismissal date. And it was just the same. Like, it's just, I don't know, him falsifying evidence or whatever. But it wasn't even evidence. Like, he just typed up a report again. Like, it's just not. I don't know if that's the statement they're trying to make, that like nothing fucking matters, like nobody cares.
We get it. Nothing matters.
It's 2018, guys. Like, if we had seen this in some prior timeline in my life, I might have been more invested in it.
It just makes me think of the number of like articles I've read this year about stuff that just should be the banner story of the year, and it's like no one cares.
No,
like, I don't even want to bring it up because they're mostly things that are so crushingly depressing. I think that's why we don't talk about it. Like, anyway,
like the constant news cycle of like new horrors being visited upon us every fucking day.
This is the thing we need a fucking pharmaceutical for.
Seriously. If you could eat a delicious plate of gnocchi that was laced with something that would make you forget. What are your thoughts on that? Oh,
God, I love gnocchi.
I don't
tough call. No, I'd prefer not to forget stuff. But
But I feel like we all already have because of the constant churn of the news cycle.
We don't
like,
need the drug.
Yeah.
We just forget.
Well, there's just something new and worse the whole time. Yeah.
This is why I watched 3 episodes of Great British Bake Off last night. My brain is broken. I just needed a nice sponge cake.
I feel like life's hard right now, guys.
But it's weird, like, this show I think really addresses a lot of the stuff that makes life hard right now, and it should be the thing we need, but I just can't. I'm tired. I don't want to think about this when I'm trying to kill my brain in front of the TV. Maybe a like 2-hour movie, like, I can handle that much of a bummer, but 10 episodes, a lot.
It was a lot.
Back to style over substance. There were some like real front and center things that seemed like they were supposed to be symbols of something. Like, what's with all the fish?
Well, I think
what does the pelican mean?
I think the fish is a memory thing, right? Because goldfish don't have any memories.
Is that true?
So, like, a goldfish going around a bowl has forgotten that it's done it already. Yeah. So I think
it's like an urban legend.
No, so it's like always new to the fish. They're like, oh, this endless thing that I'm swimming in. So that's why you can have a goldfish in a real small.
I always throw the animal metaphors at you and you always just knock them out of the park.
I don't know for sure, but I think that's it, because she had goldfish at the beginning, and then when she realizes that they're trying to it's not working, then she gets rid of the goldfish, because now she's, you know, back. She's going against Geist.
Okay. How about the pelican?
I don't know what the fuck the pelican's about. I will say, so with style and substance, this is set in like Tampa, Florida, and maybe that's contributing to the overall crushing sense of like despair.
They did somehow, like, it was such a beautiful show. Mm-hmm. Like, so well shot, and it didn't make Tampa look ugly, but it did make it seem off-putting.
It made it seem like an alternate world.
Yeah.
Like, there's
something vast and anonymous.
Yeah, there's an episode where Walter tries to leave with his friend, and they're just driving for like miles, and they're in this like weird fucking business park.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing was kind of crushing. But yeah, I don't know what the pelican's about.
Okay.
Maybe it's just a throwback to like her being in the Pelican Brief with Denzel.
Oh.
They were like, let's get whimsical. But
I forgot about my best friend's wedding until I was reading. I was trying to figure out, was that Dermot Mulroney or Dylan McDermott?
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
Don't know the difference between those two dudes.
Yeah.
And then some like article mentioned that it was like their acting reunion after my best friend's wedding. And I was like, first of all, who cares?
Yeah.
But then maybe that was intentional. She's like, if I'm going to do TV, I'm bringing that dude with me.
And I'm dumping him this time. He is not going to marry Cameron Diaz on this fucking show. I think maybe that's part of it, is that the show, I feel like there are like vast swaths of like symbolism that I missed with the show.
Right.
So that's also not great. Like, I don't want to watch something and be like, oh, I'm too dumb to enjoy this TV show.
That's me every day in front of Great British Bake Off. I was like, I've never heard of this cake. How did I miss?
What's a clafouti?
Yeah. The part where the guy who gets his brain fried hands Carrasco a magnolia leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Did that have a payoff that I missed?
No.
What was the fucking magnolia leaf for?
I don't know. He found the leaf. I don't know. When it prompted him to quit his job. There's a lot of that. I don't know what any of that's about. What's with Sissy Spacek constantly saying she had a doctor's appointment but she didn't? Why would she lie to poor Carrasco?
I don't know. Sissy Spacek, I'm always delighted to see her. She seemed a little wasted in this show.
That Frankie Shaw, totally wasted. I was so excited to see Frankie Shaw, and she got one line and she got to drop a plate and that was it.
That was very strange. And I thought like maybe this was filmed before Smilf, because that seemed like such, like, I know she's not a huge
mm-hmm.
name, but like that was a throwaway role mm-hmm. for someone who is famous.
And the guy who played the other guy at the diner is also, I think, I can't remember his name, but like he's a well-known guy also. And
I guess maybe you are in a project with Julia Roberts and they're like, it's two words.
Yeah.
10 seconds of screen time. You're just like, sure.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Julia Roberts hands you a plate. what about the old lady dying in the diner?
Yes. What was that about?
I don't know, but that is grim. That is so fucking grim.
What? She died doing what she loved.
Dying in a diner with like a giant whale outside. Fat Nathan's or
Fat Morgan's.
Fat Morgan's. Like dying in Fat Morgan's in your booth. Yes. I mean, I don't know. I guess like at least you're not at home by yourself, but it's pretty traumatic for everyone else. It's pretty inconsiderate. Pretty inconsiderate, y'all bag. You should just stay at home if you weren't feeling well. Skip the soup.
Yeah, another thing. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure all this shit's real brilliant, but I felt dumb.
Yeah, that's my thing. I think Joyless is a good way to sum this up. Alex Karpovsky also completely wasted. Being a little fucking shitty narc throughout the show. Like, just a little spy on Julia Roberts. It was bad.
Yeah.
Again, I just think so much of the stuff that went down in the show is not the way real people act. I would be insanely, insanely angry if I slept with somebody under completely false pretenses and then found out, like,
they used to be your boss.
Yeah, he used to be your boss. Like,
yeah.
Didn't seem to be an issue for her. Also, she walks into the kitchen she also ate the stuff to erase her brain. So she walked into the kitchen, grabs two heaping helping. There's like people there in full hazmat suits. Nobody says a fucking word.
Yeah.
And then they're just staring at her out the window. And it's just, this is not the way real people would behave. I don't believe. I don't know. It was very, it was too stylized for me.
Yeah. It's a little,
dumb it down, guys, is what I'm saying. Dumb it down.
Yeah. Oh, so I was reading.
I don't want to be challenged.
The review on Vulture, which was glowing. And the writer talked about the Agent Carrasco, how he had those little magnetic mm-hmm. reading glasses, mm-hmm. which ever since that character on Mindy Project had those, I just find them to be like a hugely comedic prop.
Yes, they're
I can't
hilarious.
Not laugh at those. But she said that his magnetic glasses were about him putting the pieces together. And I was like, I don't know.
A little much. I think that's just that guy. That guy is with the short shirt sleeves is totally the type who would have magnetic glasses on a chain.
Yeah. Like, but, like, explain the pelican to me before you get to his magnetic reading glasses.
Yeah, and also, again, like, yeah, is the whole thing just, like, completely nihilist? Like, nothing matters and it doesn't, like, he just quit his job and, but, I don't know.
Did you listen to any of the podcast?
I did not.
I listened to just one episode and, you know, I'm not going to. I don't need to hear the story again. But there were some big names. It, like, the acting in the
David
podcast.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah. Catherine Keener was the... Yeah. The
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. And I'm kind of... I mean, I guess Julia Roberts is a huge get, but I was kind of surprised they didn't cast... They didn't... cast anyone from the podcast, you know, like Oscar Isaac was in the podcast.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not a face made for podcasts.
No, was Oscar Isaac the?
I would presume he was the Walter Cruz character, but I actually don't know. He wasn't in the first episode that I listened to.
And also, so at the end. They do sort of have this, like, touching scene, and then Walter Cruz moves her fork, so, like, he knew it was her or whatever, but then he's just like, bye.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Do you think they had a happy ending? Do you think he came back for her?
No.
No, probably not.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it was that... Yeah, they can't be together.
No.
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 It's like, yeah, she ruined his life. She ruined his
brain.
But
how? Did she really ruin his life? Like,
she was complicit in this, like, deceptive experiment that he was tricked into being the subject of.
But when he came back, all he said all he wanted to do was take a road trip to California, live somewhere near Yosemite in, like, a little town, build a cabin and, like, do that. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess she can't be a part of that. You know, that fantasy doesn't involve, like, the therapist who...
They talked about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't with anyone else.
All right.
Maybe I'm going to say that, yeah, they live together now. And
season 2 is about them working on their back deck together.
Panning for gold. Season 2 is about their gold strike. Yeah. And they buy Geist, and then
they
okay,
TV get at on the us. Radio, home of the ridiculous season 2 pitches.
Get at us, Jeff Bezos.
That'll be our first super cut. At the end of the year when we do a best of TV on the radio show, we'll cut together all our season 2 pitches.
Pitches for the next seasons, yeah.
Would you, speaking of season 2, would you see Titanic Rising?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. If they dredge Jack up from the bottom of the sea. There was room on the door, guys. There was room on the fucking door.
That was maybe not the only joke in the show, but definitely the best. Yeah, what else? Anything else to say about this?
This bleak and... again, I will say that I thought the acting was amazing. I was genuinely creeped out by Bobby Cannavale's wife, was so fucking creepy. Like, he went back to her, like, sort of realizing that everything is kind of falling apart a little bit, and he wanted to tell her that he had slept with Julia Roberts, and she's like, put it in the box.
Oh, right.
Just, like, really, really creepy, and I was like, oh, grim.
Yeah. His whole trajectory was... it was well done. Like, like, always talking on his cell phone. Like, they did an interesting job of, like, putting him in different weird settings. And it does get, like, weirder and weirder that he's always somewhere else on the phone and never present at the facility he allegedly runs. The whole thing where he met that guy who was, like, a higher up at Geist Company at the barbecue or whatever,
at the farm or whatever,
and that guy was super fucking menacing. I I felt like that didn't really pay off either, you know? We never saw that guy again.
Yeah, but at the end, the assistant was like, I spoke with Jeff out at the farm or right. whatever. Yeah, the whole thing did definitely have a pretty menacing vibe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. What other... Right. Well, why don't they make a Chapo Trap House Amazon movie? Serialized show?
That would be the only thing more ironic than... yeah, watching a show about an evil corporation on an evil corporation streaming service. Be watching a show about socialism on yeah. Amazon.
Yeah, that may not fly.
Yeah, have you... I wasn't even aware of the genre of fiction podcasts, although mm-hmm. obviously, like, it's a natural idea. I was just like, oh, this is a thing. Have you listened to any fiction podcasts?
I have not. Everybody was super hyped about Lyme Town or Lyme Disease or Lyme something a few years ago.
People love Lyme
and
disease.
I tried to listen to one episode of that, and again, it was like, there's a big mystery, but it... Yeah, I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, just tell me, guys.
I know. This reminds me, this show falls into like a category of that whole thing, like this sort of somewhat dystopian mm-hmm. landscape where something nefarious is happening. I have dropped so many shows.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched a couple episodes of Maniac, which is unbelievably beautiful, mm-hmm. but I just, like, everyone's sad, and I'm just like, just tell me what the fucking
yeah.
mystery is.
Yeah.
Dark, that German show on mm-hmm. Netflix, has some big,
I quit
like,
that right away.
Secret. Yeah. I've watched, like, 8 out of 10 episodes, and now I'm just like, I don't care. I'm just going to yeah. Google it. and I feel like there was one more show that I was
Sharp
watching.
Objects.
Sharp Objects, yeah. which has some mystery, and everyone's like, did you see the end of Sharp Objects? And I kind of just want to be like, no, just tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Did you finish that show?
I did not. No, I quit because...
It was terrible.
Yeah, that's why I quit, because I was like, oh, God, this is yeah. really not very good. But,
yeah, that show made me feel crazy. I don't know why. Like, yeah. there's something, there does a lot of, like non-traditional, but it defies a lot of TV conventions in a way where I'm just like, do they know how TV works? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's shitty.
Yeah, it's not very good. And I read the book years ago. Oh, recollection.
Oh, so you can't
Zero.
Tell me what...
I truly do
I'm
not
just
recall.
Just Google it.
Yeah, it's just... maybe just watch the last episode of Sharp Objects.
I don't want to. I don't want to watch any more of it. If you're listening and you know what the twist is in Sharp Objects, could you just tweet a spoiler at me?
That'd yeah.
Thanks. yeah, what else are you watching? Are you watching anything that you enjoy?
Yes, actually. I am watching Wanderlust on mm-hmm. Netflix, starring Toni Collette.
National Treasure.
Yeah, as a therapist, which is a little bit of a trope, as a therapist mm-hmm. exploring having an open marriage, and I'm enjoying that.
Okay.
We'll probably talk about that next week, guys. Spoiler. It's 6 episodes on Netflix. I do definitely recommend it so far.
Okay. I started Dirty John on Bravo.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
This week, which yep. another show based on a podcast.
Yes, but that podcast was they sort of teased out like what the mystery was. There wasn't really a mystery to that, but that podcast
well,
that
kind was of was
pretty riveting.
Oh yeah, I was really that into was, it.
Yeah,
the funny thing about Dirty John, the Bravo series, is it's already has a season 2.
Yeah,
which is very strange.
Yeah.
Because the I presume season 1 follows the podcast, which was
ends
nonfiction.
With somebody dying.
Yeah. This is like a true story,
yeah.
not a fiction podcast. So I'm curious about what second season is going to be about.
Just her design. Just her and her
it
interior
just turns
design.
Into like an HGTV series.
And no, and then it just becomes like it's on Bravo. Then it just becomes like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, add it to
just
the pile.
It becomes a makeover show.
Yeah. We're all about the season 2 pivot here at TV mm-hmm. on the Radio.
Yeah,
just completely change genres for season 2, I say.
Yeah.
And, maybe it can merge with Real Housewives of the OC.
That it's kind of like that light. It's a little like...
Well, it's in the same universe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. All right. Well, what else am I watching? Nothing. I'm watching Great British Bake Off and fucking 90210 reruns.
I'm going back to my comfort zone of The Good Place. I'm midway through season three.
I need to. Are you still enjoying that?
I am enjoying it. Season three, a little less, but
is Jason Mantzoukas still on it?
He has disappeared. He's. I think he comes back though.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get to that show. I finally did watch the first season, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's everyone awesome. Says it's great. It's true.
It's great.
It's a good show.
Kristen Bell, man, is just...
She's an angel.
She is just charm personified into a little, like, tiny little bite-sized... like, she's awesome. She's just really, like, her delivery is always flawless. She's hilarious. She's so natural in everything, and I will definitely watch the Veronica Mars reboot. I've been enjoying I've been enjoying my social media. I've always followed Ryan Hansen, who played Dick Casablancas, and he's had a lot of Logan on his social meds lately, which I enjoy.
Is he on Instagram?
Yeah.
I must have unfollowed him or something.
Oh, yeah. His stories get kind of boring, but now he's back on the Veronica Mars tip.
Because I know I used to follow him, and I don't recall seeing any of this. I'm going to have to get back to that. Yeah, that's exciting. I definitely watched that. I've been thinking about rewatching Veronica Mars. Maybe I'll do that in the run-up to the reboot. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Anything else to say about kind of a bummer today, but...
I'm not sorry.
So is homecoming.
Speak for yourself. I'm not sorry. Yeah, well, homecoming. I don't know. I'm. You should try it. It's a good show. I just hate everything.
It is really beautiful. It is stunningly shot and, very stylistic. So if that's your bag, you might enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week with more TV on the radio. And I think we are going to talk about Wanderlust. So catch up on that. You can join our conversation. Have a good Sunday.
Forgotten one another and by the city, so please remember me mistakenly in the window of the tallest tower call and passes by, but much too high to see the empty road at happy hour gleam. Save temptation and please remember me as in the dream we had as rug burned babies among the fallen trees and fast asleep beside the lions and the ladies. What you like, and even might give a gift for your behavior, a fleeting chance to.